Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Nicola Everett.
Hello, hope you're okay. Thanks so much for downloading today's podcast. It's Monday, April the 20th. Coming up, a teenager from Swanscombe's revealed how he suffered severe bruising after being hit by a car while out in his mobility scooter.
It feels like my heart's pounding while I go onto roads. I do not believe they need to have some sort of pathway for mobility scooters to get down. Because right now we only have ramps, which not all roads need, not all roads have.
A vital bird habitat on the Kent coast has suffered a devastating fire.
There would have been loads of nesting birds in there and lots of nest building as well. It's devastating.
And we've got reaction from the Gillingham boss following a heavy defeat at the weekend.
We just seem to collapse a little bit and they were so easy to score against at times that it's just, yeah, it was coming.
But first, a Dover family have told the Kent Online podcast they simply want to return to their old life after a devastating fire forced them out of their home. It's exactly a year since a blaze broke out in Conqueror House on Crabble Hill. 37 households were forced to move into temporary accommodation and 21 are still there as repair work continues. Well, Alex Gowan had just celebrated his 15th birthday before the blaze broke out. He's spoken to our reporter Sam Lennon, along with his mum Violetta and dad Yaristor.
It's been hard for me because obviously it was after my birthday, which doesn't change much, but it basically ruined my life. And at the time I had mocks in school, and it was really hard for me to attend them, which I mostly didn't at the time, because I couldn't cope with going to school and revising and stuff like that. And just how my day-to-day life just changed that fast, and it was terrible for me, really.
If somebody could just flick a switch, what would you want most now?
I would say, as my mum said, to go back to how my life was before.
Does that mean going back to Conqueror House?
Not only, just because there's more things which changed in that time, like how my dad is, and just life at home, and stuff like that.
Has he become depressed since the fire?
Yeah, depressed, anxious and more angry sometimes. And it's just hard.
My flat is completely gone. Then I think no one come back. I'm so tired mentally about the situation. My life, my husband's life, my son's life is completely changed. It's completely different. I won't come back my whole life.
To be honest with you, I didn't expect we will spend that much time in hotel, 7 months.
8 months.
Yeah, so, yeah, that's it.
Town and Country Housing is the landlord for the entire building and they say that some work will be ongoing until autumn next year.
Kent Online News.
Other top stories today, and a nursery in Canterbury has been told it needs to make urgent improvements following a visit from Ofsted less than a year after opening. Inspectors say the curriculum at Jojo's Nursery is uninspiring and found issues with leadership, teaching quality and staff skills. Bosses say they're taking the findings very seriously and working with advisors to make sustainable improvements. A trial date has been set for a Kent landlord accused of assaulting and threatening a council worker, but it's not for another 13 months. Fergus Wilson is alleged to have got into a confrontation with the employee in Maidstone 4 years ago, but his hearing has suffered a series of setbacks. The 76-year-old from Boughton-on-Chelsea denies the charges. He's due to appear at Maidstone Magistrates in May 2027. A Kent mum who survived a crash on the A20 is calling for urgent improvements to a four-way junction. Natalie Pritchard's vehicle was written off in the collision at Smeath Crossroads near Ashford, and she suffered a sternum fracture as well as bruising. She wants it redesigned so drivers aren't turning onto the A20 with a 60 mile per hour limit. KCC say the junction has already benefited from safety upgrades. Now, a teenager from Swanscombe who needs a mobility scooter to get around has revealed how a collision left him scared to go out. Josh Howell suffered extensive bruising when it happened. The 18-year-old has spoken out as new stats show 53 road crashes involving mobility scooters were reported right here in the southeast in 2024. That's more than any other region.
My name is Josh. I'm 18. I like gaming and animals. I've been using my mobility scooter since November last year. The reason why I need to use my mobility scooter is because I've got chronic back pain and mobility issues. I can't go out without it. When I was here, I was on my home, literally just near the top of the road, and I was hit by a car at about 20 miles per hour as I was crossing, after I looked both ways and that sort of thing. So honestly, I'm terrified to go on roads. It feels as if my heart's pounding when I go onto roads. I do honestly believe they need to have some sort of pathway for mobility scooters to get down, because right now we only have ramps, which not all roads have. So it's like, we need some sort of laws to protect us. Like, we need people to go wide around us. It's all stuff like that could help, like simple things that people could do to ensure our safety. No, I've got my mobility scooter for sure wise. I'm able to get it to my parents' house without using public transport. Like, I struggle taking public transport anyway due to my anxiety. So it's actually helped massively.
Campaigners are calling for mobility scooter users to be explicitly included in road safety policy.
Kent Online reports.
Figures from the Home Office show more than 6,000 people have crossed the Channel to Kent in small boats so far this year. 602 asylum seekers arrived on Saturday, the second highest number in one day in 2026. The government say they're bearing down on small boat crossings. A Sheppey family's request to have their father's casket carried to his funeral in the bucket of a JCB digger has been refused. Trevor Farron was a mechanic on the island for his entire working life and died at the age of 66 following a battle with cancer. His daughter wanted his final journey to be a tribute to his life. The funeral directors say they're not legally able to carry out the request. There's relief for business owners in Herne Bay after news of a 500% parking fee hike turned out to be a council admin error. Letters were sent to bosses saying their £132 per year on-street permits were being scrapped and they could choose to spend £800 for council car parks instead. Council officers later reassured business owners that the change does not apply to the town. A community centre in New Romney has banned teenage parties after recent events saw underage drinking and significant damage. Maud Community Centre is no longer taking bookings for 16 to 18-year-old celebrations, with the town council saying they're taking a zero-tolerance approach to illegal behaviour. The purpose-built modern facility was opened less than a year ago. Next on the podcast, and a Kent environmentalist says a 300-metre scar has been cut through a vital reed bed following a fire overnight. Crews were called to Pegwell Bay Nature Reserve off Sandridge Road just after 8 p.m. Nick Mitchell runs the Get Wild social media page and posted a video after visiting the site first thing this morning.
It's devastating. Take a look at that. That's about 300 metres long, that scar. Probably about 3 acres of burnt reed bed there in a site of special scientific interest. There would have been loads of nesting birds in there and lots of nest building as well. It's devastating. Now, Kent Fire Rescue Service turned up and incredibly, given the location, dealt with this fire. So, like, hats off to them. They've done an incredible job. What was it? Well, it certainly wasn't someone throwing a cigarette out of a window from the road, because the road's about 100 metres away. But what we have got down here, and every time I encounter a fire in nature in places like this, it's normally disposable barbecues, and I've even put some out myself. Here we've got a like shingle bed of like mess that's down here, and people come down here to sit in this little secluded bay and enjoy the sun going down, and they may well have bought a disposable barbecue and then chucked it in the reed bed or left it over there. That's kind of what I think it was, but it could have been someone just set fire to it, of course. But that is devastating. Now, the reed bed will, of course, recover. It will take time, but it will grow back. But we've lost a lot this year, and this bay is already under immense pressure. And what I'm very concerned about is that people are going to be walking through there down towards the petrol station. Imagine if this fire reached that petrol station. Whew, that would have been madness. I'm concerned that going forward, people are going to be walking through that now, creating a footpath. And of course, the more people walk through it, the less those areas grow back, and you end up getting a natural desire line for people to walk through the bay that is a restricted area. So they'll be causing disturbance out here. But yeah, a massive loss to the reed beds of Pegwell Bay. I'm absolutely gutted to see it.
Now, the cause of the blaze has not been confirmed just yet. Cliffsend Parish Council have asked residents to check CCTV and doorbell cameras for any suspicious activity in the area.
Kent Online reports.
The organisers of a Kent festival say they've had to scale back on this year's event because of spiralling costs. Bosses of the Sandwich Folk and Ale Festival had hoped to bring back the Barbican stage for the first time since 2019, but the price for closing the high street is beyond what they can make work. The 3 days of festivities kicking off on July the 3rd will still include three stages across the Guildhall and Market Street. A former Beefeater near Sevenoaks is being turned into a Turkish restaurant. The Royal Oak on London Road in Rootham Heath closed in July last year. In future, it'll be known as the Cara Bar and Grill, and developers say it's due to open in the summer. Meantime, the owners of a pub near Westmorling say they were left speechless after having a knitted replica of their pub delivered. The detailed piece of work captures the George's distinctive features and was brought to the venue in Trosley last Monday night. The identity of the knitter remains a mystery, but you can see pictures of their work at Kent Online. Now, for the first time in 2 months, steam trains are now able to run from Tunbridge Wells all the way through to Groombridge. The popular Spa Valley Railway reopened over the weekend after a major project to install a new bridge on the route. The original one at Broom Lane had to be replaced. I've been speaking to Johnny Pay, who's the railway's general manager.
Last trains ran over the original bridge back on Sunday, the 22nd of February. So we haven't run any trains to Groombridge or Erridge for nearly 2 months now. So it's certainly quite nice to be going back down the line and taking passengers on the whole of the Spa Valley rather than just part of it, which we've been doing over the last couple of months. But it's certainly not the same experience that we would normally offer our visitors.
And it was quite a feat, wasn't it, to replace this bridge, because it was a really important structure, but just couldn't cope with the weight of the trains anymore. But it's been a huge project to replace it.
Yeah, it's been something that we've been planning for a number of years now. And we really did start the big fundraising project back in January 2025 to push through to raise some money. And we raised £125,000 thanks to the generosity of the general public. And then what we've been able to do through a legacy that's been left with us and general income from events such as the Christmas trains we do, Polar Express, we've been able to put some money towards the bridge project from that, which is coming in at the best part of £500,000, if not more, when we finally add everything up, because these projects do, because of the nature of them, always come with added costs, because there are certain unknowns as and when you're doing the project that you discover as you go along. But without this bridge, we wouldn't have been running over the bridge for much longer, because the old one, which was installed sometime in around 1890, was very rapidly reaching the end of its life. It was inspected on a regular basis to ensure it was still safe for us to run over. But there would have become a point before it got that far that we would have had to either reduce the weight of the train that we operate over it, which would have limited us to what we could and couldn't do, or we would have had to have stopped running over it altogether.
Yeah, and that would have been a huge shame, because as you say, you're a hugely popular tourist attraction, aren't you? Tell us a bit about why it's so important that the trains keep running as well as a heritage railway.
So we attract the best part of 90,000 people per year to our railway, and it's not just the railway that benefits from that. It's the visitors come and use things like pubs, restaurant, bars, and they visit coffee shops, other places within the town of Tunbridge Wells. They hop off at High Rocks, visit the inn and the rocks themselves. Groombridge benefits from it with its own pubs and other attractions. And Erridge, of course, has got a vineyard next door to it, a pub, and they all benefit from using our railway and the trains running up and down the track. So it's all part of a big wider community, and we do act as a form of transport in a way, enabling people to get from A to B. And we've now been going for 29 years this year. It's we turn 30 next year in terms of when we've been running trains. So it's significantly important to have been able to replace the bridge to ensure we could carry on serving the communities that we've been serving since 1997.
And work to build a new play park in Folkestone gets underway today. £750,000 is being spent on the Lower Lees Coastal Park following a project nearby to stabilise a cliff. It means the existing play equipment, including the popular pirate ship, will be closed until the summer.
Kent Online Sports.
Football first up, and it was a disappointing result for Gillingham at the weekend. They lost 4-1 to Grimsby Town at Priestfield. Manager Gareth Ainsworth spoke to the club's media team after the match.
We did all right today up to, you know, their second goal, and then we collapsed, and that was it, really. That's the story of the game. At half time, we put a few things in the boys' minds where I think we could hurt Grimsby, and we did. We did it really well second half. really on the ascendancy, and I thought we were going to get a second. I really did, you know. And G-Max obviously finished a brilliant solo effort after a great switch of playing. It was Martin's, wasn't it? He put him in, you know. So that's one of our things that we worked on in training, and definitely getting in behind down the sides with Lenny and Seb and Gareth, and it was looking all good. And then I think, you know, Glenn's held his hand up and said sorry, but I'm saying he doesn't need to be. He's saved us so many times, Glenn Morris. You know, he's been an outstanding servant for this club, and he's allowed the odd mistake, and unfortunately, you know, we just seem to collapse after that, you know. So I'll take the 2-1, because you can accept that mistake. But we just seem to collapse a little bit, and they were so easy to score against at times that it's just, yeah, it was coming. It felt like it was, yeah, I needed the end, really, and as I need the end of the season now, because I think we know what's the problem is, and I know what I've got to do. But yeah, I feel for some of the boys out there, because they put everything in, you know, and come away with nothing.
What did you kind of say to them after the game? We've had a couple of home fixtures where the score has been threes and fours.
Yeah.
I'm sure that they're hurting, as in where you are and the fans are. What's kind of your mindset at this moment?
Listen, my message is positive as always. We'll get this right. We will, you know. After the club has been like this for so long, and I came in and probably got a little bit carried away with doing beat and run, and everyone had upped their levels, and that's great. But I think there's a distinct like change needs to happen here, and that's gonna happen in the summer, you know. Definitely personnel, just for the sake of changing at times, you know, a whole new fresh start. I can't wait. But yeah, feel for the fans, you know. Yeah, I'm hurting. Of course, I'm hurting. I don't like being beat four, but the players are hurting certainly as well, you know. You know, a few have put their hands up in the dressing room for mistakes, and yeah, we're very easy to score against, and that's not, you know, a good trait of a successful team. I thought up to 65 minutes or whenever they scored their second, or 70 minutes, we matched Grimsby. We were a match for them, and it looked like, wow, which team here is the one in the playoffs? And then eventually you go, that team, because they took their goals well, and we don't. We didn't. We're not as clinical, and we don't defend as well. And story of the game.
Only a couple of games left to go now. One away, one at home. Was just a case of trying to maybe get 6 points from those two games and try and finish on a high.
I want 6 points from both games. You know, I want to finish on a high like we did last season. But you know, it was great to get Harry Waldock some more minutes today. You know, one of our youth academy products, which is brilliant for him. You know. And so there is some positives in there, you know. But the next two games, I want to win. You know, there's fans who've paid a lot of money, fans who want to come back next year and say, right, here we go again. Let's give them something to be excited about. But yeah, not good enough, you know, with the conceding of the goals in the second half. That was not good enough today.
And we can hear now from midfielder Armani Little.
It probably just sums up our season, to be fair, mate. Again, looked like we was in the driving seat, taking the game to them, especially when we got the goal back. I thought we was on top, and then we switch off. And to be fair to Glenn, he's kept, how many games he kept us in it this season, so many saves he's made for us. And when it goes 2-1 there, that's when, as a team or as individuals, we've got a game out of that now. And we don't do that enough for each other, and it's just, yeah, it's not good enough.
It must be difficult to put your sort of finger on it, really, because there's so many games where we've been in them, and then two or three quick-fire goals in some games has just made it impossible for us to get anything out of it.
Yeah, and it needs addressing. It's not good enough at all. Like I say, when it goes to 2-1, we still have enough time to get back in the game, and we can't crumble, because we absolutely crumble today, especially with the goals. It's simple things that we're not, whether it's picking up or marking or whatever it is, but we have to do so much better.
And I know the fans have been right with you, haven't they? They've given all the encouragement that they can. You must understand their frustration and disappointment.
Yeah, of course. They've come in great numbers all season, home and away. And they have backed us, but it's time for us to maybe forget the season now, and the sooner it's done, the better. I know we still have two games to go into it, and we want to go into them games and win. But yeah, it's not a season to remember.
How important is it, considering that, to try and win these last two games and try and send people into the off-season with a smile on their face and remembering what could hopefully be back-to-back victories?
Yeah, of course, it's so important to do that, and you want to finish. I know it means nothing now, but you do want to still win football games, and you still want to be competitive, and you want to stay in the league still. So we're out to ourselves to go out there and try to win both games, and I'm sure we'll come back and do that.
Meantime, Sam Gale has missed out on being named League Two Young Player of the Season. The Jules defender was nominated after featuring in 40 matches across all competitions and scoring one goal. He was beaten by Walsall's Daniel Carnu at yesterday's EFL award ceremony. Elsewhere, Kent superbike rider Shane Byrne is going to be taking on the London Marathon this weekend, 8 years after a career-ending crash. The 50-year-old from Sheppey holds an unprecedented 6 British Superbike Championship titles, but suffered life-changing injuries when he came off his bike in Norfolk in May 2018. He'll be taking on the challenge this weekend to raise money for spinal research. A new spa has been given approval for a leisure centre in Swanley. The £460,000 facility at the White Oak Leisure Centre will include a sauna, steam room and aroma room. It was approved by the council last year. And a new outdoor gym is set to be installed on Woolmer Seafront this summer. The local authority is spending £15,000 on the 10 pieces of equipment which will be off the Strand. It'll include a cardio, strength and cross-training machines, which will be freely available to anyone over the age of 13. Well, that's all from us for today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget, you can follow us on socials. Plus, you can get details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via the briefing. To sign up to that, you just need to head to kentonline.co.uk. And whilst you're on the website, you can sign up to Kent Online Premium. That gives you access to content with fewer ads and exclusive stories.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast.